Welcome back on Sportsmanlike Conduct from Charles Schwab Field, where we hope tonight Creighton and Georgetown will face off. We'll talk with Ed Service here in about 20 minutes or so about the week and the weekend. A big week for the Jays as they upset number 13 Coastal Carolina, beat them 2 out of 2 on Tuesday and Wednesday, and of course preview the series coming up. Got some interesting news coming down the sports pike. We've been talking over the last couple weeks about the NBA's broadcast rights deal, and there could be some significant changes, most notably that the games could end up, some games could end up on a stream-only service. Well, Andrew Marchand from The Athletic is reporting this afternoon that Amazon Prime,
of course,
has acquired NBA broadcast rights, and that the framework of the deal would make the streaming service one of the main homes for league games. It is expected that Prime Video's package would include several significant regular season and postseason games, perhaps even some conference finals. The anticipation is that the final contract will be at least for a decade and begin in the 2025-26 season. They had already, a different website, Puck, had reported yesterday that there is a framework for a deal to keep ABC and ESPN as the main home of the NBA Finals and continue what has been their partnership. But it sounds like the number two package, which has been TNT, TBS, Turner, could end up on Amazon Prime. So what does that mean for TBS? What does that mean for Turner Sports, TNT?
It's not very funny to them.
No, it is not. And, of course, that's the home of the very popular Inside the NBA pre- and post-game show. So it's not official, but it sounds like the framework is there that Amazon Prime. So this becomes the first major pro sport to put a significant share, and we don't have all the details, but a significant share of its games on a stream-only service. This would be akin to, you know, right now we're used to seeing Fox and CBS do every Sunday game. Mm-hmm. This would be kind of akin to the NFL giving one of those two Sunday deals over to a stream-only service. So pretty significant news. I'm sure there'll be more coming up in a little bit. And also unrelated from Scott Docterman, friend of the program, Brian Ferentz has a new home.
Oh, is he coming to Nebraska, John?
No.
Oh.
But he is staying in the Big Ten. Maryland is expected to hire Brian Ferentz as an analyst.
Okay. That's something.
Well, that's what a lot of coaches that go through coaching rehab do. You know, they fall from grace. They may have used to been a head coach or a top assistant or a coordinator. And when
or the
they really
son
have
of a coach.
Or the son of a coach, when they have a really bad fall, usually an analyst is a spot that they end up at. So Brian Ferentz will be an analyst at Maryland, according to Scott Docterman of The Athletic.
Congrats on going to Maryland.
Yeah. All right. So the NFL draft last night. Whew. First time in history that 14 straight picks went to one side of the ball over another. The first 14 picks last night were offensive picks. Never in the history of the draft, anywhere in the draft, any round, had there ever been a run of 14 straight picks of either all offense or all defense. And it happened last night, and it was all the first 14 picks, not just the third round, not something in the seventh round. No, the first 14 picks overall went to offensive guys. First time ever that that happened. And, of course, six of the top 12 picks went to quarterbacks. And there is so much conversation right now about the quarterbacks that were taken in the draft and why some teams did what they did, namely the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk more about them in further detail a little bit later on in the Grum. But, you know, the Bears going with Caleb Williams. Nobody surprised by this.
Nope.
It was pretty much a given that he was going to be there. But I got to say, go ahead.
It seemed like they took a while to make that decision that everybody knew. What's the point of being dramatic about this thing everybody picked out 6 months ago?
Well, if you're the Bears, first of all, this is the first time they picked in this spot in 70 years. They've never been number one, haven't been the number one overall pick in over 70 years. It, for them, and I think a little bit of this comes from the NFL as well. You know, you build up to this, you want to add to the drama. Yes, this is a business meeting. This is a functional meeting. These draft picks count, but there is an element of showmanship that is there. And I think from the Bears' standpoint, hey, they want to milk this. They want to milk this time. They want everyone talking about them. And from the NFL, you know, you don't just want to, hey, the draft is open, and then here's the first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, you know, you just want to let it play out a little bit, even though we all knew where that pick was going
to
go.
It was just this really weird performative theater thing.
Oh, of course it is, but that's what the draft had become. It is a performance. It's performance art is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Bears, who, of course, got that other pick from Carolina, they ended up taking Roma Dunzier with the ninth overall pick. So you've upgraded the wide receiver room. You've upgraded the quarterback room. And if you look at the trade that was executed last year by the Panthers and the Bears, that gave the Panthers the first overall pick that they used with Bryce Young. The Bears used that pick. Well, first of all, they got DJ Moore in the trade. Then they used last year's first-round pick on an offensive tackle, Darnell Wright. They used the second-round pick that they got on Tyreek Stevenson. They used this year's first-round pick on Caleb Williams, and the Bears still have a second-round pick that is due to them next year. And all the Panthers did was move up so they could get Bryce Young. For the Chicago Bears, a franchise that has woefully underachieved and has been a source of great frustration and much pain and suffering for their fan base, this could end up being their Herschel Walker. Their Herschel Walker trade. The famous Herschel Walker trade where the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker to the Vikings, got all of those picks, and basically started their dynasty with that draft. This, I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying this could be their Herschel Walker moment, considering all the draft capital that they got, what they have cashed it into. All of a sudden, the Bears, if Caleb Williams turns out to be decent, just decent. I'm not even asking him to be great. If he's just decent, Bears could be a much better team in the next few years.
John says so, Bears dynasty incoming.
No, not Bears dynasty. Not Bears dynasty, but
John says it'll be the Chiefs and then the Bears.
I mean, if it can happen to the Chiefs, it can happen to the Bears. The Chiefs weren't always great, you know.
I remember.
I know you youngs have grown up in nothing but a world where the Chiefs have been nothing but Super Bowl contenders. But when I was growing up, the Chiefs sucked. So it can happen if you have the right people in place. Yes, I can't believe I'm saying that. Kevin Warren is their team president. But just saying. Of course, Washington went out and did the predictable thing. They went and got Jaden Daniels, who I really, really liked. There's a part of me that I think I almost wanted to see. If I would have been in position, I almost would have taken Daniels over Williams. I was really impressed with what he did. I mean, I think they're both really good. But I think Washington ended up, you know, coming out pretty high on this. And then, of course, New England going with Drake May with the number three pick. I don't know, and I don't have the audio, but if you didn't get a chance to see it, the Pat McAfee show did a draft, an alternate draft cast, and they had Bill Belichick on.
Mm.
And Bill Belichick, as we know, famously now feuding with the team that once employed him and the owners, the Krafts, had some interesting things to say. Now, the thing about Belichick is he will praise and criticize. So he's not going to be like one of these draft analysts who says, oh, every pick is great. But there was an extra tinge of sarcasm or suspicion in his voice when he talked about Drake May. And the conversation around Drake May is, you know, he had a rough year last year because he didn't have a lot of great talent around him. But that, you know, he kind of sees himself as the next Josh Allen. Well, as we saw, Josh Allen actually got better in the pros than what he was in college. His completion percentage went up in the NFL. Not sure if, you know, Drake May is going to end up being like that, or if we're just using the comparison because it's convenient, because they're both, you know, 6'4", 6'5", white guys with mobility. But, you know, the Patriots felt like they had to move. A lot of people thought they were going to end up trading out of that pick. And, in fact, there really wasn't, outside of the Vikings moving up just one spot to get J.J. McCarthy, you know, none of the teams that made moves on quarterbacks, they basically got what they wanted to do what they wanted with their quarterbacks. So I thought, you know, I wonder, and maybe part of this is me just being suspicious of the 2021 draft and how there just was a run on one position, and especially with quarterback, the most important position in football, the most high-profile position in sports, that, you know, once they start coming off the boards, oh, I got to get mine. And everyone's trying to convince everyone else, oh, we got the pick we wanted. We got the guy we wanted. I don't know. I have suspicions on how many of these guys are actually going to pan out. It would be very rare if they all panned out.
Well, I'm going to put on my Jimmy Allen hat for a second. And we could maybe talk about this more later. I have a feeling that some of those quarterbacks were taken off the board just so those teams that drafted them could use them as leverage to help spur other rebuilds.
Spur other rebuilds?
So, like, say the Raiders, for example. The Raiders need a quarterback. So what if...
They did, but they weren't in position to get one. They could have traded up but couldn't get in there.
Right. So say that the Falcons took Penix.
They took Penix.
And they did so hoping to maybe hold him hostage isn't the right word, but maybe hoping that a team that is in need of a quarterback will be, hey, we'll give you this, this, and this for Penix.
Man... I don't think so, just because those first round picks are so valuable, and so many game changing positions, game changing players can be pulled out of the first round. I don't know if they're necessarily thinking in that way, where it's like, hey, we've got this person, and maybe someone will come and trade for him for us. I honestly think, you know, the teams that pick them, They're so desperate for a franchise quarterback, someone that they can basically build their offense around for the next, you know, 6 to 10 years, is going to be out there for them. And again, we'll talk about Atlanta's pick, because that was the most curious one, given that how much money they spent to get Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And then they go out and they pick a quarterback with the 6th overall pick. If anything, the Falcons either could have filled other needs that they had on their team, or they could have traded out of that spot to a team like the Raiders. See, I think that is the more likely thing. If the Falcons were really wanting, you know, to try to take advantage of a quarterback-hungry team like the Vegas Raiders, the move would have been to trade out of that spot and try to get as much as you can out of the Raiders. And, you know, you still would have been picking in the, 13th spot, I think, is where Vegas picked. Mm-hmm. You could have gotten that pick, and then you could have probably parlayed it for a couple of second-rounders, and you could have really built your team. I think that would have been the better move. I honestly think Atlanta feels like they have a quarterback that they can build around. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit more later. I'm not all the way out that this was as terrible a move as some people think. It's a curious move, given what you did to sign Kirk Cousins. But if the Falcons are trying to do basically what the Packers did, and it worked out pretty well for them, you know, to draft Aaron Rodgers when they still had Brett Favre, and then draft Jordan Love when they still had Aaron Rodgers, they could be making that play knowing that, hey, Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles injury and we don't know where that's going to be. But again, more on that in just a little bit. The Xavier Worthy deal with Kansas City, again, the Chiefs, this is what it's strange how these things happen. The Chiefs, for the longest time, never drafted very well. weren't a great run franchise. But now when you have all that winning capital with you and you have that reputation and a team comes calling and you now have that confidence where you can go out and you can make calls and say, hey, willing to make a move here, willing to make a trade here. And they were able to take Buffalo, a team that needs wide receivers, to move out of that spot just so the Chiefs could slide up a couple of spots and get the guy they absolutely wanted. They got their next Tyreek Hill. Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40 ever in the combine, they got their next Tyreek Hill. They got that next weapon. And meanwhile, Buffalo, sure, they picked up an extra third-round pick out of it, but for a team that really needs wide receivers because you have your franchise quarterback, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it, and congratulations to the Chiefs for being able to pull off the Jedi mind trick to get the Bills to do just that. Just surrender something because they weren't there. And who knows? Maybe the Bills didn't see as much value in Xavier Worthy, but, man, speed kills, and this dude is good. This dude is good. And even if the Bills didn't want to draft Xavier Worthy, you know, you had other guys out there because San Francisco ended up, they took Ricky Pearsall, who some people think might be in position to take either Ayuk or Deebo Samuel's spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a pick that was available out there. Well, now the Bills don't have that. So I'll be very curious to see what the Bills end up doing with the pick that they ended up trading for with Kansas City. But, man, the Chiefs, I thought the Chiefs got a really good selection there because it fills a spot that has been missing since Tyreek Hill got traded.
Absolutely.
It fills that spot.
And I think that if the Chiefs, because the Chiefs picked before the Dolphins, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, because, no, I got to double check now. Let's see. Where did Miami pick? Miami.
I think it was close.
Might have been close.
Either way, surprised that if the Dolphins were, I'm surprised they didn't go.
No, Dolphins picked 21st.
Yeah, so that's weird to me that the Dolphins.
And they went defense.
They did, which it was a needed position, but it surprises me that they didn't go after Worthy just because the Dolphins are about speed. That's a speedy team.
Well, they are, but, you know, they have their Tyreek Hill. You know,
yeah,
you still got it. You still got, and that defense took some lumps last year because of injuries. So they definitely needed that. You can have as much speed as you want, but at some point you gotta take care of some other positions as well. I didn't have a problem with what Miami did. In fact, I think, and this kind of takes me into what the Rams did by picking up Jared Verse from Florida State. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the Rams wanted defense. They needed a pass rusher. You had that huge run on offensive players, and the first defensive guy doesn't come off the board until the 14th pick, and the Rams ended up getting a guy that they really, really wanted. Mm-hmm. Great defensive end who can match up with the young guys that they got last year in the draft, Kobe Turner, and – you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Aaron Donald because obviously they don't play the same position, but the Rams do need to, you know, shore up the pass rush big time.
It's a comfortable pick.
It's a comfortable pick. It was the pick they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they didn't trade out for it because it was there. Maybe if, you know, some of those guys had come off the board a little bit earlier, the Rams would have traded out of that spot, but they worked him out in private, really liked what they saw, kind of kept everything under the radar. As far as what their interest was so that other teams wouldn't maybe follow suit, and ended up doing a heck of a job. So I'm very happy with the Rams pick yesterday. And we'll see what they do here in the second round. Of course, second round and third round coming up tonight on the ESPN and NFL Network family of networks. And we'll have more on the NFL draft a little bit later on, including my thoughts on the Atlanta Falcons and why they did what they did. And I don't hate this move as much as maybe some other people do.
Interesting.
We'll tease that for a little bit later, but we're going to take a break because coming up next, we're going to talk with head coach Ed Service. They have made a final decision on the Creighton-Georgetown game. We'll tell you about that and more as we continue with Unsportsmanlike Conduct live here from Charles Schwab Field on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.